from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We're live at Cowboys training camp, and our coverage continues here for the next 3 hours. You got the G-Bag Nation. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Our fan cam sponsor is brought to you by Uber One. New members enjoy 3 months free at joinuberone.com. Training camp presented by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. And here's Wolchuk with 10 top performers from camp so far. Wooly Bully.
Yeah, shout out to our guy John Machota, along with Sad Yusuf, who do an excellent job with The Athletic. They've put together 10 names here, and we can kick it around, see if we agree. Like, these guys have been having a good camp. What do we think on these players? Now, we do need to reset. We do have a new defensive end that is a member of the Dallas Cowboys, former Colt defensive end. Al-Q Muhammad is now a member of the Dallas Cowboys, so doesn't appear Carl Lawson going to be added as well. Like, maybe they could have added two, but at least of today, no go.
Maybe a defensive tackle in that mix.
Okay, because Lawson put out a star on his Twitter, and that got Cowboy fans riled up like, oh my gosh, are they going to also add him as well? So who knows?
He would have been the name signing for sure.
Yeah, that would have been a big name. He's a guy that has a lot of production in the National Football League, and we don't know if the suspension that Muhammad has had to face because of the gambling, does that carry over? Or is that done?
That was the Washington the Commanders guy was
the other guy they brought in for a workout.
Yeah,
but they didn't sign that guy.
Yeah, they didn't sign that guy.
So it wasn't okay.
It wasn't no.
Because I've seen some people ask about. He also was part of the 2023 Colt suspensions, but I think maybe he's already gone ahead and that's been dealt with.
Yeah, the one that I – what was the kid that was signed with from the
– Shaka or something like that?
Boom, shaka-lock.
Hang on just a second. Boom, go ahead and talk among yourselves.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so here's number one player. And we'll start with some receivers here, shall we? Because I think the receiving group has been a pleasant surprise for me.
Yes, man.
I was thinking like, damn, no CeeDee Lamb out here. This is going to look bare.
Of the position groups, I think like I was concerned about the receivers, not named CeeDee.
Shaka Tony was suspended.
Shaka Tony. That's first name Shaka, last name Tony?
Yeah, Shaka okay. Tony.
The wide receiver group has been has exceeded expectations. I would say the linebacker group as well. And then the safeties, man. They're asked to do probably a lot more in this Zimmer scheme as opposed to the Dan Quinn one, and how much he has these guys moving around. Like, you never know. Are they going to be around the line of scrimmage? Are they going to be playing the deep third or the hash or whatever? But there's a lot of pre-snap disguising and movement going on, and you've seen Wanya Thomas make plays. Donovan Wilson's making plays. Marquise Bell has made plays. So I think that's been pretty encouraging as well.
So the two receivers listed here, the first two of these top 10 names, Jalen Tolbert being one. And we saw yesterday, I mean, there was a lot of confidence Dak throwing to Tolbert, and he was getting himself open, and we're talking about good separation here. Like, he's open by several yards, and we had Mike McCarthy talking about how he was impressed with Jalen Tolbert, and he said last year, you definitely don't make that throw. 2 years ago, that throw is not being made. So Jalen Tolbert, he's seen a lot of strides from him. I mean, Brandon Cooks was glowing about him. Now, Cooks always has. That's been a guy that Brandon Cooks kind of took under his wing and has really helped develop. But Tolbert and then T. Billy Johnson, who's had success at the NFL level. Cowboys brought him in last year. We saw him towards the end of camp. But that's a speedster who every day is just making plays out here.
Yeah, that's You mentioned, Chief, about the wide receivers. They've each day somebody's kind of stepped up. We saw Durden had a touchdown running through the back of the end zone. Tolbert, Brooks, those guys have all been kind of the headliners.
Turpin,
Gracie McMath, couple different.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's hey, I'm not sitting here blowing smoke up your ass and tell you about not having CeeDee Lamb has been this, that, and the other. You want CeeDee Lamb out here practicing. But at least the guys that have been given opportunities, some of the days where Dak has thrown the ball well, it's been to receivers that have not been named CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
That part of it is encouraging. And, you know, and they're working against, I think, the corners for the most part. I know, Dawson, you and I were talking about that a little bit. You know, the corners have had some good days. They've had some days where there's been some separation. But I think there's been some good work on both sides. If they're going to miss Lamb and the defense is going to miss Diggs, you know, I mean, you've got some guys that are stepping up and making some plays.
It's what we need, you know. We need better trench play, and we need some wide receivers to step up to build our path to the championship.
That running game might be a mess.
Yeah, it might be.
Yes.
Schoonmaker is number three on this. Off to a solid start, writes The Athletic. Looks healthy. He's been moving well. Cowboys need him after a lackadaisical rookie season. I thought yesterday was a good day. Probably best day I'd seen from Schoonmaker out here.
Well, I'm always the cautiously optimistic guy about Schoonmaker, but there's been a couple of times where he has not been strong enough.
At the blocking.
The blocking is still... The running, the up-the-field stuff, what's been surprising is John Stevens has dropped a couple of passes. You know, his ability to separate and to get into breaks, sink his hips, and then get to the route. But there's a couple of times. Schoonmaker's been pretty good at catch the ball. There's been times where Schoonmaker's asked to make the cutoff block, and that's like ball's going to his right, he's tied in left, and now he has to work himself
around.
I mean, the old adage is, hey, if you're going to make them, you know, if they're going to get past you, make sure they run over you. Schoonmaker, they're running over him, and I mean running over him of like he's in position and he's trying to get, and they're having to go through him to get to the ball, but the ball's already gone by the time. So he hasn't been giving up anything where it's just been a straight shot he's been able to position himself, but he really hasn't been able to sit down and pin somebody to the inside.
Yeah, Marshawn Nealon had his way with him, at least on one play in the run game yesterday.
And Parsons got him too.
Yeah,
and
that's a tough ask.
And I'm not making, but in the NFL, you've got to block. If you're the backside guy, you've got to find a way. But again, make them run over you to get to the ball. If they run over to you, maybe slow them down enough so the ball gets past you.
Look, Green Bay's tight ends did it with tremendous success in the playoff game. And they did it on Micah. So it's like, Scooney, look, you were supposed to be the best blocking tight end of that draft class. Where is it? You know, we need that. Because I'm Team John Stevens right now when it comes to tight end, too. Tyler Guyton is next up on this list.
I'll tell you what, to keep up, Princeton Fant.
Fant's got some nastiness to his game.
Fant is actually one of their better blocking tight ends, if you want to talk about.
Now, he put somebody on the ground.
Guys
yesterday.
That could get inside and get movement there, but probably not one of your most athletic guys when it comes to getting down the field and catching the ball.
Tweener-esque body type, too.
Yeah.
Kind of like fullback tight end hybrid. Yeah. But I'm very impressed with Guyton. And it's one of those things where it's like, look, 6'7", 330, you knew he was raw. Cowboys take a first-round tackle. We gave them immediately the benefit. Like, they're probably going to hit on this guy, at least through the first couple padded practices. Guyton, I do want to see some improvement in the run game there along with the rest of the offensive line, but at least in pass protection. And he's gotten reps against Micah, and he's won a few of those reps.
Yeah.
Man, you talk about the number one thing that we would love to come out of camp with or after a couple of preseason games with is a lot of confidence in this guy because Tyron Smith was great in pass protection last year. He was, you know, maybe too old to really help you in the run game. But, you know, I think Dak's interception numbers going away as a storyline was a lot due to Tyron Smith's health last year.
Yeah.
And you take him out, and if you would put like a turnstile rookie over there, it could be a total disaster. If he can be okay as a pass pro guy, but give you a boost in the run game, along with what Tyler Smith is going to do on that left side, it could be really dang good. And I'm willing to put aside my cynicism and get optimistic about this team going on a January run, but that's the first thing I got to see. And I feel like we're making steps in that direction.
I think Tyler Smith is probably your best offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I'm saying that.
And that's no shot to Zach, who's aging just a little bit, but Tyler's dominant.
Yeah, Tyler, he's putting himself as one of the best linemen in football conversation.
You watch, it really doesn't matter. The one-on-one stuff, the pass rush, the 9-on-7 work and all that, you can count on him getting off the ball and then getting movement in the running game and staying on his feet.
It makes it look easy.
He's been so consistent. Bland and Diggs are next up. Bland, who's been brilliant. And there's times where, like, you'll see Al Harris is coming out on the field, and he's working just with De'Ron Bland. I've seen him do it with Kalen Carson, the rookie, as well.
Yeah, I've seen that, too.
But Bland's getting coached up. He's been absolutely tremendous.
He was showing how to read the footwork of the receiver when we're down in the red zone and they're setting him up. Is the guy coming inside or is he going to the corner for the fade? And there's a tell that the great corners can see that give him the ability to go the right direction before the guy actually moves over there. I thought it was pretty sharp.
Mozzie Smith is on this list, and I'm not really sure why, to be honest with you. I haven't seen Mozzie stand out at all in terms of a positive way. Now, I know Zim was talking him up at the podium. Mm-hmm. Zim's got to, mm-hmm. right? But to me, it's like, holy moly, I got it. I'm just not seeing it. And I don't know. I'm hoping that by going off and just saying now, hey, I'm out, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mozzie now ascends. Now, I want nothing more than you to be an absolute badass, and I want to eat crow this year, Mozzie. But yeah. I don't see it from him. And I can't fake it anymore and try and throw hope in him that I don't believe is really going to ever develop.
I like what I've seen with Justin Rogers, the rookie seventh rounder from Auburn. And I think there's some things with him, the way that he's been able to rush the passer one-on-one, some of the stuff he's been able to do in the drills where they ask him to throw his hands in there, the way he's they ask him to squeeze the hole by you extend and then you throw your hip into to make yourself, like, don't let that guy get on you, don't let that guy move you. So there's a lot of things with Justin Rogers. If there were some things that – if Mozzie was doing what Justin Rogers was doing,
yeah,
I would understand why this is going on. And Zimmer's up there, and he's talking about it. He's got to figure out – they've got to figure out things with Mozzie. But I'd love for anybody that wants to really learn about Mozzie Smith to stand down there with me on that platform and watch Jeff Seguina coach him. And you tell me what you think.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, I'm like you, Zach. I don't even want to really talk about it anymore. I think it'll tell itself. It'll take care of itself. You know, either Mozzie is going to survive all this and become a really good player, or he's going to be a footnote in Dallas Cowboys history of first-round picks that don't work out. It's really up to him.
It is.
It's really up to him. If he wants to take the hard coaching, wants to continue to develop, you know, and do everything they ask him to do and play at a high level, it'll all take care of itself. If he doesn't want to do that, then, like I said, he becomes a footnote.
Do you think maybe he's just getting whipped so bad and that's why his dauber's down?
I think Mozzie Smith is when they're asking him, you know, and Zim's talking about, I see the hands, I don't. But then you watch Jeff Seguina coach him and it's not that way. And so I'm like, okay. You know, but like I say, I'm not giving up on Mozzie because there's times you've seen him have some success. Not like the success of Justin Rogers has.
That's a huge thing for me. It's like your seventh rounders look better in a week of practice.
He's looked better. When they ask him, like Jeff Seguina said, you know, that away, JR, that away, good job, good, you know, it's, and then you're sitting there and then you're like with Mozzie, and then it's, okay, let's do this again. Let's do this again.
It's too much time.
And you're saying
you're wasting coaches' time and energy trying to get him. Somebody needs to step in here.
He is either, like I said, he is either going to succeed, he's going to swim, or he's going to sink to the bottom of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Out here we'll tell. We'll get more work. The Rams are coming in town here next week. You're going to see some work against them. Hopefully then you'll get preseason games, and we'll see how Mozzie Smith plays. And that'll be the tale of the tape right there.
Yes, it will. Last two names, Micah Parsons, Mike is just a stud. I've really enjoyed seeing some of the off-ball linebacker work from Micah. The coverage skills have been there. I think it's a fun chess piece for Mike Zimmer because you never really know where he's going to be lining up. Is he going to be blitzing? Are they going to be dropping him off in coverage? And then Nashawn Wright, who slid in place of Diggs and got those first-team reps. Wright has had some flashes of some good moments out here.
I'll tell you what, he has flashed some good moments, and they've gone away from attacking Bland to attacking Wright, and Wright has had some success. He's got the length. I kind of felt like going into this training camp, there was some bubble guys. Those guys, those 3-4 year guys that have been here, and you know, where previous regimes have brought them in, and now they're sitting there fighting for opportunities and jobs. But Nashawn Wright, to me, has shown up just as well as, you know, I mean, McQuamu has had some good moments, some bad moments, and there's some guys that are clearly on the bubble, but Nashawn Wright has done a good job.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. It's always good to, you know, get this Cowboys content to you live from Oxnard, California. It is the G-Bag Nation on the Fan, and Top 10's up next. Where are you taking it?
Man, we are just loving the Olympics right now. The Top 10 best movies about the Olympics. Which one's your favorite? 877-881-1053. Let's do that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Top 10 with Woolchuck is just a moment away. The Cowboys have made multiple signings this afternoon. We're going to tell you about it. Segment's brought to you by Soda, that state of the art, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, they added Shaka Tony into the mix. He's the guy that was teammates with Micah Parsons, I believe, at Penn State. And they also signed Al-Quadin Muhammad earlier. They had four guys in for a workout. Carl Lawson was one of them, but he is not amongst the signings. So we'll have more details on that as the show progresses. It's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Wooly Bully.
All right, we're going to get to the top 10 best movies about the Olympics. We do have our office ace, Tim Collins, your big-time movie buff as well. We've got this 469 number.
I think it's 469. Wolf,
yeah, 469, 876. I asked him if I could read the whole number and then have him call in on air. He said, yeah, that's fine. Let's do it. But then he doesn't want to give me his actual name, but he said, I'll F your ass up. I'm waiting, Zach.
How did we get here so quickly? What happened?
He said,
is he dogging on your scout's eye?
He said, just shut the bleep up. You aren't that good. You try to act like Brian. You ain't there yet. And your arguments are nonsensical.
I think you're better than
if
me.
If you
myself.
Had real balls, let me call up to the station so we can debate. So if you want to call, by all means. Now, I will say, he seems like a troll trash 469 idiot. Mm-hmm. The other text that he sent into the morning show, everyone knows the Olympics is a big bag of D's. No one watches that bleep. And no one cares about the stupid payloaf, which I think was payload.
Payload.
So he does. He seems like an angry person.
That was an accidental misspell. Let's give the guy credit on that one.
Apparently his name's Doug.
I like that Doug. He speaks his truth.
It's definitely not Doug Heffernan, because Doug Heffernan would never have that type of energy.
What's Doug got for us, too? Like, yeah. Dawson, Broadus, Chiafalo. What are your thoughts on
him? He said that Zach's better than me, and I agree with him.
No, Wolchuk will never be able to interrupt as well as Broadus, though, no matter how hard you strive.
I take pride in being able to interrupt.
It's
okay?
A skill.
No, you're the best to ever do it.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, feel free, Dougie. I'll give you your 30 seconds of fame, bud. I have no issue listening to the Tolos.
And Wolchuk's been froggy all week.
It can be a 6 o'clock sound off. Usually those suck. Maybe Doug can bring us something good.
Ooh.
You think Doug? You think Doug is not going to suck?
I don't think Doug has the balls.
Yeah, and I can prove I can attest to the realness of yours. I know Doug had your balls in question there. Just the realness of them.
With all due respect, I do love Doug, and I appreciate the troll nature of it. It's a good bit. Keep it up. Well, let's get to the top 10 here of the Olympic sports. And the Olympics have been crushing it. It's been awesome. We've been giving you updates on the poo water and everything that's going on with the urine-filled pools, with the swimmers.
Yeah. By the Olympics have been crushing it, you mean they've been dropping the ball at every turn.
The food complaints have been crazy.
Every 48 hours, there's a new complaint with something stupid they've done.
I have to eat crow as well. I kind of threw water on this idea probably a month or so ago. I thought, don't we always hear about this is going to be a problem, that's going to be a problem, that everything is all right? You know, usually things turn out all right. Did not turn out all right this time.
No, and the food apparently were lacking seasoning. You've given us a story. They're running out of eggs.
Well, they're trying.
What is Heggie running the department over there?
They're trying to push veganism on the best athletes in the world.
It's a weird situation.
Hey,
it's weird.
We need steak and eggs. How about that? Sorry, guys. Sorry, we're not going to have your Impossible burgers and stuff. We don't want bean burgers every night.
Well, okay? I do love a good Olympic film, and there are several good ones. In fact, we got a couple honorable mentions.
It's a fire-considered Olympics.
Damn right it is, Brian. Okay. You're damn right it is. And that's going to be high on this list, as it should be. Now, when I say Olympic movie, I mean D2 the Mighty Ducks.
Right, obviously D2
Come
the
on.
Mighty Ducks.
Obviously the Goodwill Games. That's what we're talking about here.
It's going to be hard to beat Miracle.
Miracle's
on
34th really hard.
Street.
Miracle's goated. Yeah, Miracle's absolutely fantastic. It's a great film. Alec, Little Red Medford back in the Pimp Cup. I know you're probably working on a piercing back there, maybe of the chest region. But do you have a favorite Olympic film?
This is, again, a false allegation, but I'm going to go with Cool Runnings.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
Cool Runnings. Yeah. Yes.
John Candy.
Gosh, that's a fantastic film.
Wonderful
fantastic
film.
Movie. Yeah. Honorable mentions. We do have on here Blades of Glory, which was a figure skating Olympic Winter Games in Salt Lake City film.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I don't know exactly what he means by that, but it feels like it's provocative and it's going to get the people going.
Damn right.
I thought, now maybe this doesn't qualify as a dramatic movie per se, but the Redeem Team show was special.
Was great.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes, the Netflix.
Is that what that was, Netflix?
They might have both
done it. Was that
30
for 30?
I know Netflix did do one. 30 for 30 might also have done one. But fantastic work. Foxcatcher is an honorable mention.
What does that mean?
Lame.
Terrible movie. With Steve Carell, Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo. I don't know if Tim Collins saw this and liked it. I couldn't
stand it. That's a star-studded crew of dudes,
right? It was
right?
John DuPont, and I think they've also done a 30-for-30 on him. But he invites wrestlers Mark Schultz and his brother to move into his estate. Yes,
fortune people?
For the wrestling team. And then at the end of it, he basically ends up shooting and killing the brother.
Ooh.
It's dark.
It's like Cain and Abel.
It's very dark, but it's very good.
Very dark. You liked it? I just, yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it's a one-time watch.
So bad.
It's a one-time watch.
Aren't there
bad
like...
Bad burn.
And there shouldn't be some tie-in with the, like a Muhammad Ali movie at some point. Wasn't he in the Olympics?
Did Ali go to the Olympics? Because Ali should be on here then if he did.
He did. I thought he was like 64?
Wasn't he the flag bearer for the country?
He did post-retirement, yes, before he passed away. He did do that, yes. Number 10.
Yeah, won a gold medal in Rome in 1960.
Well, hell,
60. Let's
give Ali some love here.
Wow, dude, he was beating down gladiators and stuff.
Number 10, we go to 1975. Maybe you've seen this one, Brian.
What?
The Other Side of the Mountain. Marilyn Has It.
No.
Bo Bridges, Belinda Montgomery.
No.
No?
Brought us more of a Brokeback Mountain guy.
Number 9, 2005.
Well said, Eric.
Steven Spielberg.
I like what you're saying.
Munich. Munich's a pretty good one. Now, that's also...
Munich was about, 72. I lived through that.
That's a tough watch
that
as well.
That's a very tough watch.
I think probably Prefontaine, the Oregon runner, 1970s.
Okay, I think that was an honorable mention on here, actually.
There's a movie about him.
I did not see it. But I'm glad that you didn't. You brought that up.
Died in a single accident, a DUI wreck after a party.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
Driving a little Porsche through the mountains.
I, Tonya, certainly getting some love here, as it should. I mean, I, Tonya was a good, good movie. Why?
The Richard Jewell movie was pretty good.
Yes.
The Olympic bombing.
Yeah, Richard Jewell was good.
That's in my top five.
That movie's definitely a sleeper right there. 7 is this movie called Race 2016. Stephen Hopkins directed this biographical sports drama about Jesse Owens.
Oh.
And, hey, I mean, I'm surprised they haven't done them.
It's Berlin,
like,
right?
Okay, we should probably get an updated movie about Jesse Owens. Freaking legendary. 6 is Eddie the Eagle. Very good movie.
Yeah, the ski jumper.
Yes.
That's number 2.
Hugh Jackman, Taron Egerton.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think you're right. Yep.
That was quite a sensation. They'd be updating that every morning on Good Morning
America.
It was
badass.
As I was getting ready for 6th grade. Does Blades of Glory count?
Yeah.
It
was an honorable mention on here. Yeah. It does count because it took place Salt Lake City.
Welcome to the show, Dawson.
Dawson!
Thanks for paying attention to the program.
Yes! I knew we could get that from you.
1951.
By the way, did you see what he did? He knew he was in trouble, took a swig of the Pepsi, pointed the Pepsi at me like, okay, welcome to the show, Dawson.
He had that like look in his face.
He did.
Was like a vigorous sip of like, I'm proud of myself.
He knew he had to take a sip of the Pepsi first so he could like make sure he got it out.
He's actively playing defense against our show.
Man.
Just a
quick sports update.
Step it up.
Mike Trout, another torn meniscus.
Another one. How do you tear
he's
it
out
up,
for
dude.
The season?
He's torn all 3 now?
I think he's torn all 4.
I think he's doing it to himself.
This isn't good.
He's just going out.
Mike, what's going on? Yeah. Number 4 is Unbroken. Hell of a book if you haven't read it. I thought the book way better than the movie. Oftentimes that's the case. But 2014, directed by Angelina Jolie. Great movie, Unbroken. 3 is Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
Which, hell, the song. I mean, definitely the soundtrack for that. Mm. That's an Oscar winner right there.
How does that
what Olympics again? Was that from?
Boom, boom, da, boom, da, boom, da, boom. Da,
da, what Olympics was da, Chariots da, of da, Fire?
Goodness gracious.
Post-World War
One.
I think it was the first Olympics post-World War One.
That was
that's
Top
a damn
Gun.
Good rendition.
Wasn't that how it bridges into that part?
Same thing. No. I mean, it's basically like 2 married songs right there.
I think you nailed that one, Dawson.
Thank you.
Certainly better than Broadus's Aaron Andrews, limited fake Aaron Andrews from earlier in the week.
Could you give us one more limited fake? Let's get redemption here with Aaron Andrews.
I talked to the coaches. No, I didn't.
Oh, we got some text for Boys in the Boat. That movie came out recently. I did not see it. Getting the head nod here from Tim Collins. That one's a good one. Cutting Edge
Boys
is getting texted in. Forrest Gump being texted in. Hell,
there you
go.
Ping pong, right?
The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville. I don't know if we can even mention that today, but that's a pretty funny
movie. I think it's
an
FCC violation.
Number 2 is indeed Miracle. Hell.
Today you're the greatest.
Kurt Russell.
Again.
Yeah.
Give
me the keys. I'll lock up.
We're doing wind sprints.
Again.
Yeah.
Come on, Herb. Again.
Come on, Herb.
You want me to take your test? I'll take your test. No. I want the kid in the net.
Where are you from?
The test. Mike Ruzioni. Number 1, Cool Runnings.
There you go.
There it is.
Wow, good job, Medford.
Cool Runnings comes in with number one.
My number one didn't even get mentioned.
What's your number one?
Molly's Game.
Is Molly's Game an Olympic movie?
That's how she injured herself qualifying for the Olympics.
Dude,
no
okay, then that's my number one then. Molly's Game is an incredible
Molly's
movie.
Molly's Game is really good.
Is there some
good
nudity involved here with this movie?
No, this is a poker playing smoke show, really.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah.
Nice. Lawless there was with her. But
oh,
not
that's what I thought.
Not
okay
here.
Jessica
okay
Chastain, and
yes,
Idris Elba, and Kevin Costner.
Wow.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
It's a good movie.
Waterworld. And The Office Ace, Tim Collins. With quite a movie wreck. I think that's what I got right there. A lot of people writing that down. Got to put that on the queue. There's Alec Medford in for Lucius Alexander. I've just been informed in less than an hour now, Alec Medford is going to take the LA Live broadcast responsibilities and deliver his go-to segment, AM on the FM.
What does so this button do?
Stick around for that. What are you doing, Wolchuk? Is that a little shake weight routine?
Just dancing, yeah, just working out over here.
Okay.
Trying to kill some calories.
One of Stephen Jones' talking points out here is that it's hard to pay the quarterback, wide receiver, and edge rusher at the top of the market and still build out the rest of the roster. At 877-881-1053, Franklin injury attorney text line, I just don't know if they know how much they're embarrassing themselves on multiple levels when they continue this talking point. Is the objective to put pressure on the players? You know, to make it look like, well, it's not our fault we can't keep your favorite players. They're greedy. Is that what they're doing here? Why do you talk about this kind of stuff, Brian?
Man, I've kind of gone round and round about this because I'm from the school of I'm going to pay this quarterback, and now it's my responsibility to build the team around him. But that's a personnel guy's way of looking at this. It's probably not the right way of doing it because I've lived without the quarterback. It's a quarterback – I mean, I don't know if the quarterback could play any better than he did last year.
Okay,
I'm just saying. I don't have a great answer for you because I've lived without a quarterback and I got fired.
Well,
you know, but
the premise is you can obviously pay a quarterback, wide receiver, and defensive end at the same time.
Sure, and that if you're saying that, yeah. See, I never ever got involved with the cap stuff, and I was always trying to find players. I was trying to find so you could have four or five guys to sign. But yeah, they're I see, this is why I'd like to talk to Jerry if we could sometime about the, you know, he's throwing it out there about the I know things. I know, you know, why did anybody press him? What do you know?
Yeah.
What's going to happen with, are we really going, is the cap going to go up a lot? Is it not going to go up? I mean, give me a reason why. Do you know in the future that television revenue is going down? And if it's going down, we can't afford to pay the players, and we're going to not be caught up in all that.
And do you know something that the other owners don't?
Because
the Eagles have a quarterback that makes the same amount and five other guys making $20 million or more. They've been in the Super Bowl twice over the last 6 years
exactly,
and won one of them.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just don't know if they understand how incompetent it makes them sound.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are you kidding me? It's like, you got eight other positions you got to worry about on the football field. You're worried about you can't get more than two of them at the same time and pay them top of the market money and still have the salary cap work. I mean, it's patently the most ridiculous idea.
Have the Eagles had more misses of signing their own? Or have the Cowboys had more misses of signing their own? You know what I'm saying? Misses of Zeke, Gallup, Smith. Have the Eagles had the similar?
I don't think they've had whiffs like that.
I don't off the
now,
top. I mean, Carson Wentz. You know,
okay,
Carson Wentz.
Okay, yeah. There you go. But have they had others? And I'm trying to just off the top of my head.
Certainly not a laundry list of guys. I can only
see
think
that's
of
where
Wentz.
That's where I'm thinking that maybe they're in a bind because of some of the whiffs. have the...
Well, the reason they're in a bind is because they spread out the process over 8 years and paid a little bit extra every year for 8 years and ultimately created this snowball effect that lands right now. Yeah. What the Eagles do is they spend way, way too much in a 1 to 3 year period and go for it and then repair their salary cap. They're on like a 3 or 4 year cycle where the Cowboys spread it out so long because they want to make the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. Again, making the playoffs is their number one priority, Chief.
Yeah, and I think generally, too, they're waiting to the last minute to where the market has now gotten to a point where it's super high. If you would have paid Dak a little bit earlier, then it wouldn't have been as big a number right now. If you could found a way to, you know, on some of that stuff. And then the guys that they have tried to get ahead on, they were just misses, like Jalen Smith.
There's a reason they want to sign now, you know, Terrence Steele. And hopefully Steele bounces back, has a good year.
The thing about it, though, too, is I think they're dealing with a son of a bee. With Dak Prescott's guy.
Yeah, they're good.
They are.
That's
they
where,
are.
I mean,
yeah.
Just me, and I'd love to ask somebody this question, and if you're, I know you guys that are 500 yards away from us that are probably listening to our show right now that doing all the cap stuff, front office stuff, I'm sure they're listening right now as we're talking. I wonder from you, did Todd France changing agencies affect your deal to get a deal done?
First time around with Dak?
Yeah. That they caught their quarterback, the most expensive piece you can have. Did they catch that one at a wrong time where you had an agent that was switching agencies and didn't want to put money with his old agency?
I think that's a great question because they could be paying for that now, right? Because maybe they wanted to try and pay. They couldn't. And now by waiting, they realize, like, hey, waiting benefits us. Well, we're going to get more money by waiting. Why should we sign early?
I wonder if France making them wait has escalated this to making him a $60 million player.
I think it has, you know, but they've done some other great things with this organization. How they negotiated the Tyron Smith deal, how they negotiated Tank Lawrence down. He's like a super underpaid end right now. I think they've done some good enough things that you could say a lot of that stuff has washed itself out. They have made some significant mistakes, but, you know, I think the other point I want to make here is they have done such an amazing job at accumulating talent. You know, it's a blessing and a curse, I guess, to have to pay three different guys around top of the market money. And then if you throw in on top of that, we've also managed to draft so many other good players that now we're having to make tough decisions, and we had to let some of them go. You had such a built roster for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get past the wild card. You can't have all those things be true and then also say we love this coaching staff and love this quarterback. You know, you have had such an overloaded roster of talent. Now you're in this really difficult spot. How are we going to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons? Oh, no, poor us. We had way too many good players for the salary cap. And at the same time, you can't even win a damn home playoff game, dude. To me, you know, that's the toughest question this organization needs to answer, and I just don't think that you could possibly have a good one.
If we had an answer for the playoff problems, we'd have said it by now, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
does anybody? I mean,
there's a lot of issues. They're
can't stop the run.
Thing.
Can't run.
There's always a different issue that
not
pops
good
up.
Enough.
Quarterback not good enough.
Your defense
performs, wide receiver pounce. Yeah,
bad call doesn't go your way.
I can't.
In their mind, they've been all in. They've really gone for it, and their roster couldn't even get through the first round of the playoffs. Mm. How am I supposed to have anything but cynicism about their ability to finally get it done?
As a fan, you absolutely should.
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of like if I could point the finger to this is the reason why they've lacked playoff success, and I could fix it, then I would probably feel better about it. But I don't know. I mean, the low-hanging fruit is to blame Jerry Steven in the front office.
But that
is the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the answer.
They're not putting enough talent on the team to win.
It's the head of the snake.
No, wait a minute now. No, wait a minute, though. There's not enough talent on this team to win?
No. They win all
in. I disagree with you on that. When you look at the overall, you had four players in the top 20, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't we just have four? And
they're
say
good
what
at finding stars.
Say what you want about the top 100.
Arbitrary as hell.
I'm with you. If I'm using that as an argument, shame on me. But it's something we do talk about. They put four players in the top 16.
Yeah, I think talent wise, you looked at the NFC last year, and they were number two behind San Francisco. I mean, I think they beat the Lions head to head. Granted, it took a call going your way to make that happen. I think you looked at the Lions and said their offensive line's great, so maybe we think they're a better team. But going into the postseason, I know I did. It lined up perfectly. You're getting two home playoff games. You're undefeated at home in your last, what was it?
You beat Green Bay, Detroit. You're on your way to San Francisco.
Yeah, it was like San Francisco might be the only team you just can't get over with. So, like, talent, I think they were talented enough to definitely make a conference championship game.
Yeah, but they have a
more talented than Green Bay, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they have a good quarterback that they think is great, and they have a good coach that they think is great. And so they're building a roster, and they're cutting corners on it in hopes that what they believe to be a great quarterback and coach duo can make up for. And unfortunately, they've misevaluated their coach and their quarterback. They're both good or above average, but they don't have a roster that is good enough to make up for the fact that they don't have the best coach on the field more often than not, and they don't have the best quarterback on the field whenever it's in a win-or-go-home postseason situation.
So, to me, then, what you're saying is the problem is the head coach and the quarterback, not the front office.
Well, the front office is the one that's determining their good coach is great and their good quarterback is great. And so that's a front office issue.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah.
I mean, I think they have a lot of really good star players now, but that's how they rebuilt in 11, 12, and 13, where we strip away a lot of the fringe starters and a lot of the depth, and we try to still make the playoffs because in our down years, we still want to be able to make the playoffs. They should be using these years to totally purge the system, get good draft picks, and set themselves up with a salary cap spot where they could come out hot in 2026 or 2027. And that's a way you could
maybe,
win big
maybe
with
that,
Mike
okay.
McCarthy.
Well, maybe that's what you're going to get. You're going to get your wish because maybe they're not going to sign the quarterback. And maybe Mike McCarthy's done when this thing is 9-8 and doesn't get in the playoffs.
If they do that, and you know, it would symbolize a major shift in philosophy, I would love it.
That
would be exciting.
You don't trust them to draft a quarterback, right?
No, right.
No, and Dawson doesn't trust them to hire a head coach.
No. Correct. And I think that's completely fair.
Yeah. But there's a chance that you could get one of those two that could be transcendent. I know where this hamster wheel to nowhere is going. It's the Joneses building teams to win the NFC East that really have such major flaws when you get to the playoffs. And all along, they're going to convince themselves they're all in and they're doing everything in their power. Meanwhile, there's always going to be two or three teams that around trade deadline are like, crap, we don't have a running game and we don't have a linebacker. Mm. And they're going to go out and legitimately plug those holes.
Well, they went out and got a receiver. They gave a first-round pick to go get Cooper.
Well, what's their excuse for not plugging those holes?
Salary cap.
Right.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They love their draft picks.
Well, but the salary cap. Maybe that's something you need to look at.
Yeah.
All 31 other teams seem to kind of find a way to maneuver things around.
Yeah.
Maybe who's running the cap, maybe you should look in the mirror and we need to do a better job there.
That is a great note to end on, Brian. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you did. You did it on purpose, you jerk.
We got the expressway coming up in 20 minutes. An edition of Football's Finest is next. Where are you taking it, buddy?
Yes, we have Fat Mahomes. We have an injured wideout. And we have the forbidden pass next year in the nation.
Q. There's Alec Medford in for Lucius Alexander. I've just been informed in less than an hour now, Alec Medford is going to take the LA Live broadcast responsibilities and deliver his go-to segment, AM on the FM.
What does this button do?
Stick around for that. What are you doing, Woolchuck? Is that a little shake weight routine?
Just dancing, just working out over here.
Okay.
Trying to kill some calories.
One of Stephen Jones' talking points out here is that it's hard to pay the quarterback, wide receiver, and edge rusher at the top of the market and still build out the rest of the roster. At 877-881-1053, Franklin injury attorney text line, I just don't know if they know how much they're embarrassing themselves on multiple levels when they continue this talking point. Is the objective to put pressure on the players? You know, to make it look like, well, it's not our fault we can't keep your favorite players. They're greedy. Is that what they're doing here? Why do you talk about this kind of stuff, Brian?
Man, I've kind of gone round and round about this because I'm from the school of I'm going to pay this quarterback. And now it's my responsibility to build the team around him. But that's a personnel guy's way of looking at this. It's probably not the right way of doing it. Because I've lived without the quarterback. It's a quarterback. I mean, I don't know if the quarterback could play any better than he did last year. Okay, I'm just saying. Right, I don't have a great answer for you because I've lived without a quarterback and I got fired.
Well, yeah.
You know, but
the premise is you can obviously pay a quarterback, wide receiver, and defensive end at the same time.
Sure, and that if you're saying that, yeah. See, I never ever got involved with the cap stuff, and I was always trying to find players. I was trying to find so you could have four or five guys to sign. But yeah, they're. I see. This is why I'd like to talk to Jerry if we could sometime about the. You know, he's throwing it out there about the, I know things. I know, you know, why did anybody press him? What do you know?
Yeah.
What's going to happen with, are we really going, is the cap going to go up a lot? Is it not going to go up? I mean, give me a reason why. Do you know in the future that television revenue is going down? And if it's going down, we can't afford to pay the players and we're going to not be caught up in all that.
And do you know something that the other owners don't?
Because
the Eagles have a quarterback that makes the same amount and five other guys making $20 million or more. They've been in the Super Bowl twice over the last 6 years and won one of them.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just don't know if they understand how incompetent it makes them sound.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are you kidding me? It's like, you got eight other positions you got to worry about on the football field. You're worried about you can't get more than two of them at the same time and pay them top of the market money and still have the salary cap work. I mean, it's patently the most ridiculous idea.
Have the Eagles had more misses of signing their own, or have the Cowboys had more misses of signing their own? You know what I'm saying? Misses of Zeke, Gallup, Smith. Have the Eagles had the similar?
I don't think they've had whiffs like that.
I don't off the now, top. I mean, Carson Wentz. You know,
okay, Carson Wentz. Okay, yeah. There you go. But have they had others? And I'm trying to just off the top of my head.
Certainly not a laundry list of guys. I can only
see
think
that's
of
where
Wentz.
That's where I'm thinking that maybe they're in a bind because of some of the whiffs.
Well, the reason they're in a bind is because they spread out the process over 8 years and paid a little bit extra every year for 8 years and ultimately created this snowball effect that lands right now. Yeah. What the Eagles do is they spend way, way too much in a 1 to 3 year period and go for it and then repair their salary cap. They're on like a 3 or 4 year cycle where the Cowboys spread it out so long because they want to make the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. Again, making the playoffs is their number one priority, Chief.
Yeah, and I think generally, too, they're waiting to the last minute to where the market has now gotten to a point where it's super high. If you would have paid Dak a little bit earlier, then it wouldn't have been as big a number right now. If you could found a way to, you know, on some of that stuff. And then the guys that they have tried to get ahead on, they were just misses, like Jalen Smith.
There's a reason they want to sign now, you know, Terrence Steele. And hopefully Steele bounces back, has a good year.
The thing about it, though, too, is I think they're dealing with a son of a B. With Dak Prescott's guy.
Yeah, they're good.
They are.
I mean, just me, and I'd love to ask somebody this question, and I know you guys that are 500 yards away from us that are probably listening to our show right now that doing all the cap stuff, front office stuff, I'm sure they're listening right now as we're talking. I wonder from you, did Todd France changing agencies affect your deal to get a deal done?
First time around with Dak?
Yeah. That they caught their quarterback, the most expensive piece you can have. Did they catch that one at a wrong time where you had an agent that was switching agencies and didn't want to put money with his old agency?
I think that's a great question because they could be paying for that now, right? Because maybe they wanted to try and pay. They couldn't. And now by waiting, they realize, like, hey, waiting benefits us. Well, we're going to get more money by waiting. Why should we sign early?
I wonder if France making them wait has escalated this to making him a $60 million player?
I think it has, you know, but they've done some other great things with this organization. How they negotiated the Tyron Smith deal, how they negotiated Tank Lawrence down. He's like a super underpaid end right now. I think they've done some good enough things that you could say a lot of that stuff has washed itself out. They have made some significant mistakes, but, you know, I think the other point I want to make here is they have done such an amazing job at accumulating talent. You know, it's a blessing and a curse, I guess, to have to pay three different guys around top of the market money. And then if you throw in on top of that, we've also managed to draft so many other good players that now we're having to make tough decisions, and we had to let some of them go. You had such a built roster for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get past the wild card. You can't have all those things be true and then also say we love this coaching staff and love this quarterback. Sure. You know, you have had such an overloaded roster of talent. Now you're in this really difficult spot. How are we going to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons? Oh, no, poor us. We had way too many good players for the salary cap. And at the same time, you can't even win a damn home playoff game, dude. To me, you know, that's the toughest question this organization needs to answer, and I just don't think that you could possibly have a good one.
Do we have an – if we had an answer for the playoff problems, we'd have said it by now, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
does anybody – I mean
– There's a lot of issues. They're
can't
not
stop the run.
Thing.
Can't run.
There's always a different issue that
not
pops
good
up.
Good enough.
Quarterback not like, good enough.
Your defense performs.
Wide receiver pounds. Yeah, I mean,
a bad call doesn't go your way.
I can't.
In their mind, they've been all in. They've really gone for it, and their roster couldn't even get through the first round of the playoffs. Mm. How am I supposed to have anything but cynicism about their ability to finally get it done?
As a fan, you absolutely should.
Yeah.
As and to me, it's kind of like if I could point the finger to this is the reason why they've lacked playoff success, and I could fix it, then I would probably feel better about. But I don't know. I mean, the low hanging fruit is to blame Jerry Steven in the front office.
But that's the answer.
That is the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the answer.
They're not putting enough talent on the team to win.
It's the head of the snake.
No, wait a minute now. No, wait a minute though. There's not enough talent on this team to win.
No. They win all
in. I disagree with you on that. When you look at the overall, you had four players in the top 20, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't we just have four? And
they're
say
good
what,
at finding stars.
Say what you want about the top 100.
Arbitrary as hell.
I'm with you. If I'm using that as an argument, shame on me. But it's something we do talk about. They put four players in the top 16.
Yeah, I think talent-wise, you looked at the NFC last year, and they were number two behind San Francisco. I mean, I think they beat the Lions head-to-head. Granted, it took a call going your way to make that happen. I think you looked at the Lions and said, their offensive line's great, so maybe we think they're a better team. But going into the postseason, I know I did, it lined up perfectly. You're getting two home playoff games. You're undefeated at home in your last, what was it?
You beat Green Bay, Detroit, you're on your way to San Francisco.
Yeah, it was like San Francisco might be the only team you just can't get over with. So, like, talent, I think they were talented enough to definitely make a conference championship game.
Yeah, but they have a
more talented than Green Bay, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they have a good quarterback that they think is great, and they have a good coach that they think is great. And so they're building a roster and they're cutting corners on it in hopes that they're what they believe to be a great quarterback and coach duo can make up for. And unfortunately, they've misevaluated their coach and their quarterback. They're both good or above average, but they don't have a roster that is good enough to make up for the fact that they don't have the best coach on the field more often than not, and they don't have the best quarterback on the field whenever it's in a win-or-go-home postseason situation.
So, to me, then, what you're saying is the problem is the head coach and the quarterback, not the front office.
Well, the front office is the one that's determining their good coach is great and their good quarterback is great. And so that's a front office issue.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I understand. Yeah.
I mean, I think they have a lot of really good star players now, but that's how they rebuilt in 11, 12, and 13, where we strip away a lot of the fringe starters and a lot of the depth, and we try to still make the playoffs because in our down years, we still want to be able to make the playoffs. They should be using these years to totally purge the system, get good draft picks, and set themselves up with a salary cap spot where they could come out hot in 2026 or 2027, and that's a way you could
maybe
win big
maybe
with
that
Mike McCarthy and Dak.
Well, maybe that's what you're going to get. You're going to get your wish because maybe they're not going to sign the quarterback, and maybe Mike McCarthy's done when this thing is 9-8 and doesn't get in the playoffs.
If they do that, and you know it would symbolize a major shift in philosophy. I would love it.
You don't.
That'd be exciting.
You don't trust them to draft a quarterback.
No, right.
And Dawson doesn't trust him to hire a head coach.
No.
Correct. And I think that's completely fair.
Yeah. But there's a chance that you could get one of those two that could be transcendent. I know where this hamster wheel to nowhere is going. It's the Joneses building teams to win the NFC East that really have such major flaws when you get to the playoffs. And all along, they're going to convince themselves they're all in and they're doing everything in their power. Meanwhile, there's always going to be two or three teams that around trade deadline are like, crap, we don't have a running game and we don't have a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go out and legitimately plug those holes.
Well, they went out and got a receiver. They gave a first-round pick to go get Cooper.
Well, what's their excuse for not plugging those holes?
Salary cap.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay.
They love their draft picks.
Well, but the salary cap. Maybe that's something you need to look at.
Yeah.
All 31 other teams seem to kind of find a way to maneuver things around.
Yeah.
Maybe who's running the cap? Maybe you should look in the mirror, and we need to do a better job there.
That is a great note to end on, Brian. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you did. You did it on purpose, you jerk.
We got the expressway coming up in 20 minutes. An edition of Football's Finest is next. Where are you taking it, buddy?
Yes, we have Fat Mahomes. We have an injured wideout, and we have the forbidden pass next year in the nation.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.